Before the throne of God above.
Hello, and welcome to Sovereign Grace Today. I'm Michael Goins. We are currently involved in an exposition of 1 Corinthians. If you have access to a Bible, open with us to that New Testament epistle and stay tuned for today's message.
My name is written on his heart. I know that while in these times, no tongue can bid me thirsty part.
I'm happy to welcome you to our program today. I'm Michael Goins. I've had a few occasions in pastoral ministry in which someone said to me, "The Bible's just too difficult to understand." Well, I want to ask you today if you can understand this verse from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 31 and 32. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. That's a very straightforward exhortation. And it deals with what we're calling today two rules for living life. These are guidelines for conducting our day-to-day attitudes and activities. And we will listen to part one of the message on today's program as we seek to apply these two divinely inspired rules for living our lives. Stay tuned for the message. Corinthians chapter 10, verses 31 and 32. At the end of this very difficult chapter in which the apostle has dealt with idolatry and
again, the subject of eating food that is sacrificed to idols, he gives us these two principles in these two verses. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Then verse 32, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. I think in these two verses, we have two basic principles by which believers are to regulate their lives. The first is a vertical principle. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. The second is horizontal. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. I think if we would live by these two rules, many of our troubles and difficulties would be greatly minimized. In fact, if you think about it, these are the very two things that Jesus specifies in Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39, when he is asked the question, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And his response is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, do you see the vertical and the horizontal? The first and greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all of your being. Everything that you are, everything you have, is to be devoted to the love of God. And second, love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus basically summarizes the Ten Commandments in terms of these two. He reduces the ten to these two principles. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. In other words, if we would keep these two commandments, then our lives would be honoring to the Lord and useful to others. And we would live, if you please, lives of righteousness and godliness in this world. So can you see how the apostle, in our text tonight, teaches the very same thing that Jesus teaches in Matthew 22? He says, whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. There's the first and greatest commandment. And the second, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, might be expressed in these words of verse 32, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Now, if you were to write down a couple of rules by which to conduct your lives each day, you couldn't find two any better than this. Do everything to God's glory and don't offend or harm another person. Seems very simple, doesn't it? But it's simply profound because it is, in fact, the rules, the law and the prophets, the rules by which Christians should live their lives. Let's talk for a moment about the first one, do all to the glory of God. The Bible teaches us that this is the very purpose of our existence, to glorify God. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7 says, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. That verse indicates that the purpose of our existence, the reason for which we were created and made, is to glorify God. I have created him for my glory. I wonder how often we think about that. We tend to view the Lord, if you're like me, we tend to view the Lord as existing for our benefit. Lord, I'll call on you when I need you. When we're in a tight or in a straight, difficult place, we say, Lord, help. And it's right that we should pray and call upon him in the day of trouble. That's what he's bid us to do. But the Lord really doesn't exist for you or for me. On the contrary, we exist for him. He made us for his glory. I have created him for my glory. That's why sin is a violation of the very purpose of man's existence. In the sixth chapter of Genesis, we read that every thought and imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. And the very next verse says, and it grieved the Lord that he had made man. Because man is not living up to the purpose of his existence. He's not living up to the reason for which he was made. If his thoughts are only sinful continually, then No doubt he is violating the very purpose of his existence. That's what sin is. Proverbs 16, verse 4 says, "The Lord hath made all things for himself, even the wicked for the day of evil." Somehow God will even be glorified in the punishment of the wicked. But he made all things for himself. Revelation 4:11 says, "For his pleasure they are and were created." Can you imagine God creating the galaxies and the solar systems and the universe as a whole, and then, of course, this planet on which we live, and even down to the very minutest detail on the micro level, creating DNA and cellular structures and molecules and to the smallest of creatures. And God did it all for his own glory. And tonight, when the stars come out and the moon shines, and tomorrow morning when the sun comes up, the heavens will declare the glory of God. And the firmament is going to demonstrate and show his handiwork. Day unto day is going to preach a message. Nature's sermon. Day unto day uttereth speech. Night unto night showeth. Nature's sermon is a sermon celebrating the honor and the majesty of its creator. The trees of the forest clap their hands as the wind blows through the branches, celebrating the God who made them. The morning stars sang together, and the sons of God shouted for joy on the morning of creation. And every morning since then, I dare say, there has been a testimony to the Lord's loving kindness every morning and his faithfulness every night. And of course, man, the pinnacle of creation, the highest of the creatures that he made in the natural world, a little lower than the angels, these supernatural beings, but of these terrestrial beings, man is the image bearer of the Creator God. Man exists to glorify God. And all of our lives, therefore, not just the religious dimension of our lives, but every sector and part of our lives is to be devoted to the glory of God. Whatever you do. It's interesting that the Bible does not specify what we do, or it doesn't emphasize what we do so much as how we do it. In other words, so far as your occupation is concerned, maybe you're a school teacher or a banker, or maybe you're a stay-at-home mom, or perhaps you're a farmer or a welder or some kind of business person or a salesman. Whatever you do, though, notice the Bible doesn't say that one is right and another is wrong. I think all honest work is honorable. Certainly there are jobs that people profess to have that are not moral, that are not proper. But I think within the limits of what is good and right and moral, whatever you do, whether you're a ditch digger or a CEO of a corporation, whatsoever you do, you're to do everything to the glory of God. This rule is taught in other places in the Scriptures. For instance, listen to Colossians 3, verse 17. "And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." This is good counsel. In your life and in mine, every day that we live, our actions should be the impetus to our actions, the incentive to our actions should be this desire to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now notice the very next verse, he begins to talk about relationships. In the area of relationships, my friend, the rule for living our life is that we're to do all for the glory of God. Listen, he says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." You see, it's because of your desire to glorify God that you want to comply with that New Testament principle. Then he says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." It's because of a Christian husband's desire to live his life to glorify God, even in the area of his marriage relationship, that he is going to demonstrate sacrificial love and going to try to ward off, if you please, the attitude of bitterness, the attitude of hard-heartedness, that cynical spirit that is so easy to catch in our lives. He says, husbands, love your wives. Then he says, children. You see, even in the relationship between children and their parents, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. The reason that children are to do this is because they want to glorify God. You see, we're to do everything, whatever we do, whether you spend money, whether you dig a ditch, whether you preach a sermon, whether you write a paper, whether you take a test, whether you close a sale, whether you go visit somebody that's on a bed of affliction, whatever you do, you're to do it with this aim and this motive, to honor and to glorify God. But don't you think if the whole world lived like that, well, we'd have paradise, wouldn't we? It would be paradise. And sin is the desire to glorify self, to please man, to please self, instead of pleasing the Lord. So we're living in a world that is under the curse of sin. And one of the characteristics of that is that God is not always glorified with the glory that is due to his name. But Christians are people who should be committed to rendering to the Lord the glory due to his name, even on the level of their relationships. Husbands are to love their wives and resist the tendency to grow bitter toward them. And it's interesting to me that of all the things he could have said to husbands in the New Testament, he highlights that as a particular danger over the years of marriage. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And wives are to submit to their husbands for as it is fit in the Lord. And children are to obey their parents in all things, not just in what you want to obey them in, not just when you want to obey them, but children are to live their lives in submission to their parents, doing what mother and daddy say, because this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And then fathers are not to provoke their children to anger, lest they be discouraged. They're to be very sensitive to know the limits of a child, and not to overly burden, not to lose their own cool, lest it might be counterproductive in the life of their child. And then servants are to obey their masters in all things according to the flesh. That is, they're to be the best employees that they can be on the job, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as in singleness of heart, fearing God. Notice how this principle is the umbrella principle that governs and controls every human relationship. Whatever you do on the level of relationships, do all to the glory of God. Listen to the next verse, Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. We're all familiar with the tendency, aren't we, when you have to do something you don't want to sort of do it half-heartedly. You see, if we're concerned to glorify God, to please him, if we want to live our lives to make him happy, to honor him, then whatever we do it heartily, from the soul. You put your weight in it. You know, when I preach a sermon, there's a real temptation over the years. As time goes on and, you know, as we all get older and, you know, you've preached on passages before, and there's a real temptation just to sort of wing it, or to give it a half-hearted effort. You know, our Lord deserves better than that. When we sing, sometimes we sing and we just mumble through the songs and we don't really sing out. We've got our mind in 100 other different places. I believe, dear friends, that Jesus is worthy of our best esteem and our best effort. I think even though there may be just a handful of us at worship, we ought to put our soul and heart into the song service. Because we're singing to the Lord, right? And he is abundantly good. He has dealt bountifully with us. He has overflowed with goodness. When we come to the house of God, we ought to come, if you please, zealous and enthusiastic and ready and prepared. When I preach a sermon, I should preach with every fiber of my being, as if I'm preaching to tens of thousands, even though it's just a handful. You say, well, there may be people there that are there just because their parents made them come, or maybe they are there because they're afraid somebody might talk about them if they don't show up. Or maybe their motives aren't perfect, but still, in the pulpit, we ought to preach to the best of our ability. We ought to pray with the fervor of the Spirit from our hearts, not just go through the motions. I believe God is pleased when we delight ourselves in Him. Psalm 37:4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Jesus said by way of prophecy in the 40th Psalm, I delight to do thy will, O God. He didn't just do what the Father said, but do it grudgingly. He did it with joy in his heart. He delighted to do the Father's will. So whatsoever you do, do it heartily in the name of the Lord Jesus, as to the Lord and not unto men. Even in the area of our relationships, if you're working, if you're taking a test, if you're going to school, if you're running a race, if you're painting a picture, if you're doctoring a patient, if you're closing an insurance sale, if you're trying to encourage a friend by an email, if you're doing a plumbing job, if you're fixing an engine, if you're serving a customer at lunch, whatsoever you do all to the glory of God. Do it from your soul. You know, Solomon teaches us this lesson in Ecclesiastes 9:10 when he says, whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with all thy might. Don't you believe Christian people ought to live with that sort of passion and intensity? Not in the half-hearted, lackluster, anemic sort of way that is so par for the course in this world. We're recipients of abundant grace, and we ought to give, therefore, an extra effort in our attempts to live our lives on a daily basis to the glory of God. Now, not only in the area of relationships should we do all to the glory of God, but this should be the rule in all Christian service. I've already hinted at this by talking about preaching and singing and praying, but turn with me to 1 Peter 4:11, if you would. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Notice this verse speaks particularly about the realm of Christian service. Speaking in the house of God, ministering, that is probably not the verbal kind of ministry, but the physical, hands-on kind of ministry. Whatever we do in serving the Lord in the life of the church, we're to do all to the glory of God. So this should be the rule in our relationships. It should be the rule in all Christian service. Even in the smallest matters of life, let's return to our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Like eating and drinking, whether therefore you eat or drink, and or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Somebody might ask, preacher, how do you eat to the glory of God? You do it by being mindful that He's the source of your daily bread. You do it by taking the time to express your gratitude to Him in prayer and your dependence upon Him for further mercies. You do it by eating thankfully, by being grateful that you have the necessities of life. You know, if the Lord withdrew His providential hand of mercy upon our lives, we might literally starve to death. It could happen. We take for granted the daily necessities of life, like food and raiment, at our peril. We ought to be thankful that we have life as easy as we do. We murmur and complain, if you're like me, at little things that go wrong here and there, but comparatively speaking, I've had a free ride in life. I've had a very easy, I've lived on easy street for the most part. I've had my share of burdens, more than I can probably count, and I think I've had enough for a lifetime. I don't want any more. But probably we'll have some along the way. But for the most part, I've had plenty to eat. I've never missed a meal. Never lacked for something to wear. Might have to decide, do I want to wear this suit, that one, this one, this one, or this one. But I've had something to wear. I've had a shelter over my head. I've never had to spend the night on the street. I slept out in a tent a couple of times, but that was by choice. But so many people in this world do not enjoy the kind of prosperity that I have in my life and that probably most of you have in your lives. That's how we can eat to the glory of God, by being humble and thankful. Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Even in the smallest matters of life, our relationships, our employment, our Christian service, even in terms of eating and drinking, this rule, do all to the glory of God, should govern and regulate our lives. This is the rule to regulate the conscience and every action in our life. Learn to ask yourself the question then, can I engage in this activity to the glory of God? Is this something that I can do that will honor the Lord, or will it dishonor the Lord? I think if you can answer the question, can I engage in this to the glory of God? If you can say yes, that there's nothing wrong with this activity, that I can do it to the glory of God, then you have a pretty good rule to follow by which to make decisions in your life. And if you have to say, no, I don't think God would be pleased, then you might be wise, dear friends, to turn and flee and run from that kind of activity. You're going to walk into a bar, ask yourself the question, can I do this to the glory of God? You say, oh yeah, I can drink this six pack to the glory of God. No, absolutely not. Can I flirt with somebody that's not my husband or my wife to the glory of God? No. But can you show kindness to the undeserving to the glory of God? Can you help the needy to the glory of God? Can you ease the burdens of somebody that's heavy laden, that's over much taxed with sorrow in this life? Absolutely. Do all to the glory of God. Here's a rule to regulate your conscience and your conduct as well.
We will glorify the King of Kings. We will glorify the Lamb. We will glorify the Lord of Lords, who is the great I Am. Lord Jehovah reigns in majesty.
And because of time limitations, we will pause the message at that point today and return, God willing, on Monday to complete this sermon entitled, Two Rules for Living Life. I hope you will return to join us on Monday. As we conclude our time together today, I would like to extend an invitation to anyone who may be in the coastal Carolina area to join us for public worship this coming Lord's Day at Bethel Primitive Baptist Church. Our church building is located in Calabash, North Carolina, and for directions to our church building, you may visit our website, which is bethelpbc.us. Once again, that's bethelpbc.us. We meet at 10:30 each Lord's Day morning and would be thrilled to welcome you to the congregation for public worship this coming Sunday. Have a good and godly day. And now, until next week at this same time, may the Lord bless and keep you.